church the next Sunday, and God tags on my heart again. Hey, give out that jacket again. But this time I don't hesitate. I go out and I give my jacket to this young man. Same reaction. So excited. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. That next week, again, a blessing comes up. What do? Shopping. I go shopping and I buy a new outfit. Next Sunday, exactly same thing happens. The Holy Spirit starts tugging in my heart. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, do you mean God like endorses my fashion issue, my shopping stuff? Is this my purpose in life, that I should shop for the rest of my life? I'm like, I love this thing. But something started to happen, because this just didn't happen once. This happened for weeks upon months, that every week I'd get blessed, every week I'd give out a clothing item. And I started anticipating going to church, because I was so excited that, hey, I get an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. And by blessing somebody, it blessed me. And that attitude has stayed with me until this very day. You see, I don't come to church just to receive. I come to church to ask God, use me to be a blessing to somebody. Because if you really think about it, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so when I come to church, I'm expecting God, use me in some way or another that I would be a blessing to somebody. And in that way, I get blessed. So I want to encourage you this morning. When you come to church, come expectant. Come ready. Ask the Holy Spirit, hey, use me. Your smile could change someone's day. Your handshake could change someone's future. Your participation, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, could change the life of somebody. So come expectant. Now this year, Pastor Ryan felt in his heart that they should fight, that the year is to fight. And so the two questions that he had was, one, we fight. What are we fighting for, and who are we fighting with? Now, who are we fighting with is us. We're fighting for each other. But privately, I would ask you, ask the Holy Spirit, who should I be fighting with? Because you see, in my own life, I've got men who I fight with. There's men that I can text on a moment's notice when I have issues, and they will stand with me. They'll stop everything they're doing, and they will start praying. Ben Jacobson likes to call them warriors. These are my warriors. These are men that if they texted me and said, Fasting, I'm struggling right now, I will stop whatever I'm doing, and I'll say a prayer. And I want to encourage you to find people that you will surround yourself that will be that for you. And don't worry, after this service, we have a plan for you, which is going to be awesome, because we're going to have you join e-groups and you will find people who will stand with you and fight for you. But the other question was, what are we fighting for? And this week, I felt like the Holy Spirit put in my heart that we should fight for obedience, that God desires to fight for obedience. Now, if you would turn, if you have your Bible, please turn to Joshua 6, 1 to 5. If you don't, we got it up in the screen. Then we'll read Joshua 7, verse 1. The Bible says, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one last blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. Now jump with me to Joshua 7, verse 1. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Would you let me pray for y'all this morning? Father, I thank you so much for this moment that we have with you. I thank you for what has already transpired. I thank you for the moment in worship where we got to turn our eyes and face you, God. And your word declares when we turn our eyes and fix our eyes on you, you begin to change us to be more like Jesus. I thank you for every person who walked into the service needing a miracle, who are desperately looking, God, that you would make a way for them. I pray, God, as they knock this morning, that the door will be open for them. God, as they seek, they will find, God. God. And God, Isaiah, King of Glory, God, search, God. They will find everything that they're looking for. God, I thank you, God, that breakthroughs are beginning to happen right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray, and the church can say amen. Amen. Now, I love how Joshua 6 starts. The Bible says that God tells Joshua, I have already given you the city. Wouldn't that be an awesome statement to hear from God? That whatever it is that you're believing for this year, God has already given you. That if you're believing for a job, it's yours. If you're trusting for a husband, he's yours. If you're trusting, hey, for your kids to get it right, he's already done it. That God would say to you, whatever it is that you want, I've already given to you. But it's interesting that the children of Israel still have to fight for it. You see, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God shows us a pattern that he had orchestrated. That every time, even though Canaan was promised to them, they still had to fight. And the fight was important because the fight was to teach you how to obey. In fact, in Judges 3 verse 1, that's what God says. He left certain cities unconquered so that the children of Israel would learn how to obey. I could say it this way. It's like a parent and their kids. When they're young, man, they want clothes, you buy them. When they want food, you feed them. When they get to 16, they need a car. Hey, daddy will figure a way. I'll get you the car, baby. I'll get it. But at a certain point, you got to start teaching them how to survive. You got to start putting tests in their lives. Like you need to clean up your room, you get a dollar. You start teaching them principles that would help them do what they need to do. This is God. That yes, I have given it to you, but you have to fight. I can say it another way. The freedoms you and I exercise right now in the United States, somebody fought for them. You and I get to enjoy it. But just because somebody fought for them, we have to fight to keep them. And this is what God is teaching the children of Israel. But I love how he goes about it. He gives them a set of instructions, very specific set of instructions. He turns to Joshua and he says, listen, this is how you're going to fight this battle. I want you to pick, to send the Ark of the Covenant in front. And the Ark was where God chose to dwell in that time. And he says, choose 7 priests to hold a horn. And then I want you to tell the armies that they are to walk around the city in silence. And then on the 7th day, I want you to do it 7 times. And on the last time, blow the horn, then tell everybody to shout. Now, I got to tell you, this plan did not sound solid. Joshua was a general in Moses' army. He knew how to fight. He knew how to come up with a strategy that would conquer enemies. But for some reason, when he's hearing this information, it makes no sense. And so he has to turn and go to his generals and tell him, all right, I know we're sharpening our swords. We're about to go into battle, but this is the plan. Can you imagine the conversation he's having with his mighty warriors? To tell them that the plan is that we are just to walk around this city, exposed to the enemy, and say nothing. But the Bible tells us they don't even hesitate. They say, this is the man of God. We receive the word of God, and we're going to do it. Generals turn and they tell the information to the army. Same thing happens. No hesitation. This is the word of God. We receive it in faith because it must have taken some faith to believe that stuff. I'm going to take the word. I'm going to walk it out. But I've got to say, on the 3rd day, I must have been wondering, man, I did not see any crack on this building. Like we're walking around this fortified city and nothing has happened. And sometimes you and I face that. That you received a word from God, you took it in faith, you walked it out, but nothing has happened. This businessman in here, God spoke to you about certain things that you ought to do, and you've done them faithfully, but nothing has happened. I just want to encourage you, keep walking. There's parents in here, your kids seem to have lost it. You thought you raised your kid in the way that it ought to go, and now they seem to be departing from it. But I'm here to encourage you. Just keep walking. There's couples in here believing for a child. And you know God spoke to you that you are going to have a child of your own. I'm here to encourage you. Just keep walking. So the children of Israel do exactly what the Lord tells them to do. And on the seventh day, they do it seven times. Then on the last time, they shout and the walls fall down. Oh, my goodness. Look at God. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. Now they're running in and they take over Jericho. This is a good day for the children of Israel. In fact, this is such a good day that every other city has heard about what God has done for them. But it's something that you and I need to understand. There's a sequence here God is trying to teach you and I. That when the word comes in, take it by faith. Walk it out patiently. And don't veer off the plan. Stick to the plan. And in due time, victory is going to be yours. Now listen, this morning I feel that if we are to fight in 2020, I believe with everything in me that we are to fight to obey God's instruction. Now you see, God's word is beautiful. In fact, God speaks in so many different ways. Some people see dreams. Some people see art. Some people hear a voice that comes into their spirit. But a lot of times, the way God speaks is through his word. You and I have access. We have the privilege in this country to be able to open any word of God and to read it out loud without any shame, and nobody will persecute us for it. That the word of God is God's instruction for you and I. But currently, I feel like there's war against the word of God. In fact, there's always been a war against his word. They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to burn it. They've tried to put laws around it to stop people from reading the word, but it has stood the test of time. Now in my generation, I'm hearing, man, the word of God is old. It's ancient. It doesn't make sense. It's not politically right. It's offensive. Now you can't even say certain words. I begin to hear the one word that you always hear. It's irrelevant. But I just want to encourage you, this word is alive. In fact, in Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires." In fact, in Galatians 1, it says, "It is the will of God." That's what the word of God is. In John 17, it says, "It's the truth of God." In 1 Peter 1, it says, it's the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 22, it says, it's the decrees of God. In Matthew 15, it says, it is the Holy Scriptures. And then I love in John 1, it says, it is the Son of our living God. This word is alive. This word is so current, it's so effective, it goes further than you can ever think it to go, that if you apply it in your own life, it will change you. As a husband, it teaches me to love my wife as Christ loves the church. In fact, it tells me as a husband, if I love my wife, I love myself. As a father, it tells me to instruct my kids in the way to go in the Holy Word scriptures and to raise them in discipline. As a worker, somebody who provides for his family, tells me whatever you find in your heart and hand to do, do it with everything in your heart, because you're doing it as unto God. The scriptures are alive. But for some reason, we struggle. I have to admit, I try to read the word every day, but I've been struggling. I struggle sometimes, and I wonder why, Lord. Because the battle really sometimes is not with the devil. The battle is internal. Because my flesh wants to do whatever it wants. Set me free. I want to do everything I want. But my spirit is fighting to connect with the Spirit of God and to align itself with this word. You see, when I was younger, every time I heard about the scriptures, it felt like do's and don'ts. It felt like you should do this, you should not do this. And I was totally repelled by that because I felt like God was trying to hold me back. He doesn't want me to fly. He doesn't want me to be all I can be. I want to live. I want to do all the good things that I hear about. But as I started studying the scriptures, I started to realize that this word is really a manual. Because I started seeing God as a manufacturer. That as a manufacturer, any good manufacturer will give you a manual for the product you purchase. If you really want to utilize this phone, read the manual. In fact, Nick Saban and Aaron Johnson will tell you, they spent hours, thousands of man hours trying to make sure that whatever this phone is meant to do, will do. And that the user will have the best experience doing it. God, who is our master manufacturer, knew that when you came to this earth, you need a manual to know how exactly you would function. And I realized the word is not to constrict me. Really, the word is to set me free. That if I was to truly be the best version of me, I need to follow the manual. If I was truly to fly and to be who God called me to be, I should look through the manual. And then whenever there's a user error, guess where I need to go? To the manual. Think about it. Man, I've seen a gentleman actually, at a gas station with a Tesla looking for where the oil thing was going. Clearly, he had not read the manual. It sounds funny, but that's what it looks like when we try to live life without reading the manual. God is a great manufacturer, and his intent is that you would thrive. In fact, I want to take it farther. And it's not even in my notes. If you think... stop. If you think about God being the manufacturer, before any manufacturer puts their seal on any product, they will try, they will test, they'll do everything that product needs to do to make sure by the time they seal that product with their sign, it will do exactly what they've told the consumer it will do. God says in Jeremiah, before you were even born, I knew you. I tested you. I knew exactly how much weight you would be able to carry. I put you through every single scenario and you were going to succeed. So I'm here to encourage you. You can carry the load you are carrying right now. You are not going to crumble. You're not going to fall. You're not that delicate. You are strong. Before God put his seal, because the Bible tells us we are the image of the Most High God. Before he put us in this earth, he guaranteed that his product was good. Man, that was not even my notes. That's good. That's good. That's good. So good. Listen, I want to close this thought with this. This is what David says in Psalm 19. The instruction of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. Learn to fall in love with God's word. Sorry, brother, sweating. Preaching my heart out. Learn to fall in love with God's word. Because this word will change your life forever. Now, the children of Israel are confident. They just won the biggest battle. In fact, Jericho was considered the largest city they would face through this season of time. And so they're confident. They're ready. The next town they need to conquer is Ai. Ai has only 12,000 citizens. There's no wall. So they're like, man, we don't even need to take a big army. Just send 3,000. But something goes horribly wrong. They get there. They get their behinds kicked. In fact, 36 people die. And now Joshua rips his clothes, falls to the ground, and weeps before the Lord. Man, you've abandoned us. You've left us. What happened? And I love what God responds to Joshua is. Says in Joshua 7 verse 10, but the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and hidden it, the things among their own belongings. This is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you. They were set apart for destruction. Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. Joshua is weeping before God. You've left me. And sometimes you feel that way. You followed, you thought God's with you on a project. Then all of a sudden, everything goes wrong. And it feels like God abandoned you. But God walks to Joshua and says, what are you doing? I never left you. I love you. I'm for you. My heart hasn't changed about you. It's the people's heart that has changed about me. Many a times, I find myself in hard situations. And my posture, as Maloof was encouraging us last week, is to get down on my knees and cry out to God, God, search my heart. What is it I've done that has caused this to happen? God, is there anything of me that came in the way of you doing what you said you would do? I take the posture of humility and I say, forgive me, Father. Repent. I repent for my sins. I repent for whatever it is that I have done. Help me, Lord, do it right. And I love how God is so favorable. He puts measures in place for us to get back on track. That you're never too far gone that you cannot get back to what God's plan is for your life. You may have made some bad decisions. May have wanted to get out on your own. Want to live it up. But you've realized, like everybody else does, this was not God's intention for my life. And God is asking you, repent. The word repent means turn away and walk the other way. And this morning I want to encourage us, if you've veered away, pray like David did in Psalms 139:23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, search me this morning. If I've fallen short, Lord, forgive me. If there's anything in me that's causing me to see things differently, help me. And I'm telling you, God's mercy is real. And he will lead you back to the path that you were always set to be on. Now, I want to finish this morning with an illustration because I love illustrations. I'm a kids pastor. My kids demand illustrations to get it. And I love searching for them. This week, I learned about the seven natural wonders of the world. I thought I knew about the seven ancient wonders of the world. Then I thought I knew about the seven new wonders of the world. But this week, I was introduced to the seven natural wonders of the world. A lot of seven wonders. Now, the seven natural wonders of the world are the Grand Canyon, the Great Barrier Reef, Victoria Falls, Mount Everest, the harbor at Rio de Janeiro, Paricutin, I think I'm saying it right, I think it's in Mexico, and the Northern Lights. Those are the seven natural wonders of the world. Now, Einstein said there's an eighth wonder of the world. The eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. And every businessman said, amen. Now, for those of you who don't know what compound interest is, imagine with me, see this domino? That there's a series of dominoes increasing by the size of the factor 1.5. By the 12th domino in the series would be the size of me. By the 20th domino in the series, increasing by a factor of 1.5, will be the size of this big wall behind me. By the 37th domino will be the size and weight of the Empire State Building. You see, when you choose to obey God, and I choose to obey God, this is compound interest. And in a season of time, only God can tell us what we're about to see happen. You see, when Jesus made a decision to obey God, his disciples made the same decision. And then thousands upon thousands were added to the church. And then 2,000 years later, Pastor Carl Maloof decided to follow Jesus. Then when Pastor Carl Maloof decided to follow Jesus, Ryan Maloof decided to follow Jesus. And because of Ryan Maloof's decision to follow Jesus, you and I are seated right in here. That is compound interest. We're in a new decade. I would love to look back 10 years from now and see how far we have come Because we chose to obey God's instruction, wait patiently in faith, and never veered from the plan until we see God do something incredible. You might be in here and you're like, Faustin, I have veered way off. In fact, this book of instructions, you're telling me I don't even know about it. Bible tells us in Romans 8 that the way you join the family of Jesus Christ is by believing in your heart that he died for you, by confessing with your mouth that he is Lord over your life, and accepting him, and you will be saved. So while every eye is bowed, nobody looking, if you're in here and you're like, Faustin, man, I need to accept this Jesus Christ. I want to get back to the path that God has directed for my life. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. I see that hand. See that hand. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for every hand that was raised today. I thank you, God, for them accepting Jesus into their hearts. As they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that he died and rose again from the grave. God, I pray that today they are saved, God. I thank you for their lives being radically changed. I thank you, God, that, Lord, you are doing something so radical, God, in this church, God. I thank you that people's lives are being stirred up by the word that has just been spoken. I pray as we get back into, Lord, reading your word and obeying it and walking faithfully, God, to what you have called us to do, God, that, Lord, we will see the victory in Jesus' name. So we bless you and we thank you, God, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And the church said amen. Amen. Now listen, I just wanted to take a moment because I just realized how much love you guys have shown me. You see, I came from a very far place. I had no clue if people would accept me, if people would understand me. I had no clue. But this church has taken me in, loved me, cared for me, given me a place. I just want to say thank you. Y'all have shown me what the kingdom of God looks like. As even though I'm so far from home, I feel home every time I walk into this building. That just this morning, Don was just trying to tell you, people love you, man. So many people walked up to me and just prayed over me. That's what the body of Christ looks like. But that action is not meant to stay in here. That action is meant to actually be more effective out there. This morning, we have a strategy. Pastor Ryan Maloof heard from God. He received some instruction. He came and he talked to the generals of the church. And now we're turning back and we're telling you what God has put in our hearts. So if you would you welcome Miss Melissa Maloof to come on up, and she's going to walk us through what the instructions are this morning.
Okay.
Give it up.
Okay. Thank you, Faustin. Wow, what a good word.